Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. This week on our program, we take you to President Lincoln's cottage in Washington.
Our story begins on the evening of Wednesday, September 17th, 1862. The Civil War between the Union North and the Confederate South is in its second year. The first major battle on Northern Territory has just been fought that day, 100 kilometers from Washington. Union troops defeated a rebel invasion in the Battle of Antietam in the state of Maryland. In all, more than 20,000 soldiers were killed or wounded. September 17, 1862, becomes the single bloodiest day in American military history. President Abraham Lincoln is fighting to keep the southern states of the Confederacy from leaving the Union. But from his office in the White House, he must also attend to his other duties as President of the United States.
In summertime, which can get very hot in Washington, President Lincoln used a country house. It was about 5 kilometers from the White House. Each morning and evening, Lincoln rode between the two houses on horseback, unguarded. Buildings would give way to farmland as he rode north out of the city. In about 30 minutes, he would arrive at the grounds of the soldiers' home. Just inside the gate was a large house used by the president and his family. This house was on much higher ground than the White House, so the wind kept it cooler. It was also quiet, a place to think.
On this day, we imagine Lincoln climbing the stairs to his study on the second floor. He places his tall black hat on his desk and opens a large window. He feels cooler already. He lights 2 lamps and sits down at the desk. An important document that he has been writing and rewriting waits for him. He began working on it soon after he became president in 1861. Lincoln has been thinking long and hard to develop his ideas and capture them in words. What he is writing sounds like it was written by a lawyer. He was, after all, a lawyer in Illinois before he became president. But this is different. It involves the war, the ownership of human beings, and the future of the divided nation. He knows that some people will support it, some will reject it, and some will say it changes nothing. It will free the slaves, but only in areas where Lincoln has no power.
Slavery was legal in the Confederate States of America, the South, but it was also legal in several neighboring states that remained loyal to the Union. Many Americans wanted Lincoln to free all the slaves. Lincoln opposed slavery, but he needed the continued loyalty of those border states, like Maryland and Kentucky, or risk losing the Civil War.
The 16th president looks again at what he has written. Lincoln feels that what he is doing will give the war effort new meaning. He feels that, in time, it will lead to the end of slavery in the United States. On this day, September 17th, he has finished his second draft of the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation. Soon he will share it with his cabinet.
Abraham Lincoln issued the preliminary version 5 days later, on September 22, 1862. It declared that slaves would be free anywhere that was still in rebellion on January 1, 1863. The final version of the Emancipation Proclamation came on January 1st, declaring all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then, thenceforward, and forever, free. The document would become one of the most important in American history. The Emancipation Proclamation is in the National Archives in Washington, and it can be seen online at archives.gov.
Lincoln was right that it would not be very popular, but he was also right that it would be the first step toward ending slavery in the United States. The proclamation also welcomed freed slaves to serve in the Union Army and Navy. By the end of the war, more than 200,000 blacks had joined the armed services.
The Civil War lasted from 1861 to 1865. Troops were stationed at the soldiers' home to protect President Lincoln during the war. At first, he did not welcome them. He did not think he needed their protection. But he began to enjoy talking to them. In fact, much of what historians know about the president's time at the house is from stories told by those soldiers. One soldier told of guarding the president's house on a day when Lincoln was sitting on the porch with his young son, Tad. They were playing a game of checkers. The president asked the soldier to put down his rifle and join them. The young soldier was confused. He was supposed to guard the president, not play a game. But the president was also commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. The soldier decided he could not refuse the request. He spent the afternoon playing checkers with the president.
Not far from the house was a military hospital. The president would sometimes watch the wagons arriving with soldiers wounded in the war. He would sometimes talk with the soldiers. The man with the long, sad face wanted to hear news about the battles they had been fighting. He said it helped him understand their experiences.
Today, the house at the soldiers' home is known as President Lincoln's Cottage. But Lincoln was not the first president to use it. That was James Buchanan, the president just before him. Later, Presidents Rutherford Hayes and Chester Arthur also used it. A Washington banker named George Washington Riggs built the house in 1842. In 1851, He sold the house and the land around it to the federal government. The government later expanded the house and used the land to build the Soldiers' Home for Veterans. Today, it is called the Armed Forces Retirement Home. More than 1,000 retired service members live there.
The location of President Lincoln's cottage has not changed since Lincoln's day, but the city of Washington has. The house is now within the city limits. Historians have compared it to the modern presidential retreat in the mountains of Maryland. They call it a kind of 19th century Camp David. The 34-room house opened to the public in February of 2008 after $15 million in work. The National Trust for Historic Preservation has restored the building so it looks as it did when Lincoln and his family lived there. For example, workers removed more than 20 layers of paint from one room. The paint hid the wooden walls of what was Lincoln's library. Visitors can see lines left by bookshelves on the walls.
Guides tell visitors that Lincoln lived at the house for one-fourth of his time as president. He and his family would go to the house in June or early July and stay until early November. They did this in 1862, 63, and 64. Records show that one year, White House workers moved 19 wagon loads of belongings to the house. These included toys, clothing, and furniture.
One night in 1864, President Lincoln survived an assassination attempt. He was alone, returning on horseback from Washington. Someone shot at him. It happened near the house. His tall hat flew off, and soldiers found it on the ground with a bullet hole through it. He was not injured. After that, the War Department increased his protection, but that was not enough to save his life. Records show that he visited his country house for the last time on April 13, 1865. The next day, John Wilkes Booth, an actor and supporter of the defeated Confederacy, shot President Lincoln at Ford's Theater in Washington.
Our program was written by Nancy Steinbach and produced by Katie Weaver. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember. Internet users can learn more about President Lincoln's cottage at lincolncottage.org. For a link and for transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs, go to voaspecialenglish.com. We hope you can join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.